Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Let's Chat, hosted by Carlette Norwood, right here, Wednesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So sit back, relax, and let's chat.
This is the last go. Yes, it is now. This is the last go.
Hey, hey, hey. Good evening, everybody. It's Carlette. I'm glad to be back with you tonight. Today is Wednesday, May 20th. Wow, I can't believe the time is flying so quickly. I just remember being so cold very recently. I couldn't warm up. Wintertime was bouncing me around with snow and wind and all kinds of craziness. And now here it is. It was like 90 degrees in my house because I absolutely refused to turn the air conditioner on. And I'm glad that I made that decision because I think today the high was like 67 degrees. It was kind of cold today. So, you know, space heaters one night and air conditioners the next. What are you going to do? But after the winter that we had, I guarantee you that you will never, ever hear me complain about the heat. A big thank you to William Price King for that lovely opening to Let's Chat. You know, I was on hiatus for so long, and when I came back, I asked William would he grace me with his beautiful voice and singing the opening to my show, and he so graciously did it. You can follow him on Twitter, WPK Official on Twitter, WPK Official. He has a lovely voice. I guarantee you, if you listen to some of his music, you will be hypnotized. It is mesmerizing. William Price King. And also a shout out, thank you to my show sponsors, Bleeding Critic. You can follow him on Twitter at Bleeding Critic. He is a wacky clown. He is a he reviews horror movies and also delivers these deliciously wicked vignettes of his original horror stories. You can follow him, Bleeding Critic. If you're into horror, you definitely want to hook up with him. He is really good at what he does. And, of course, the very talented, the very illustrious, the very handsome Paul Sampson, Paul Sampson Films, and Knight of the Templar, thank you so much for your love and support. Tonight, I have a very special guest. Her name is Kimberly M. Harmon. And let me tell you, she and I actually have never met, but I feel like I have known this woman forever. We met last year when she reached out to me on Facebook and introduced me to a gentleman named Joshua B. Alafia, and I actually interviewed him last year. He is an independent filmmaker out of New York, and he was working on a film called The Havana Habibi, and it was a wonderful story about a woman in Cuba, which is actually kind of timely now, since now the border is open and we're able to freely go back and forth to Cuba. I might have to get him back on for an update on that project. But it was through him that I met her. Well, actually, I met her and she introduced me to him. But she and I never really actually, you know, communicated. But I've been following her on Facebook. And let me tell you, she is so prolific, so strong, so powerful, and so knowledgeable. I love her posts. I think she is an amazing individual. And I am very proud to have her on my show. She is the founder of Sebeda, and I know she'll correct me if I said that wrong, Sebeda Holistic Healing Arts. And we're going to talk about tonight the empowerment, the liberation through ancestral communications, assessing Black healing, dream interpretation, and rituals. I'm so very proud to have her on the show tonight. Good evening, Kimberly M. Harmon. Come on in, sister. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you for being here with me tonight.
Oh, no, I want to thank you for that fabulous introduction that you just gave me. I'm listening to you, and I'm like, oh, I really want to meet her. And then I, you know, realized you were talking about me. So
it was pretty
I'm
good.
Very
I wasn't.
Humbly, but I'm very humble. I'm very humble with that, right? Because I understand that
it
is just all. I really, really appreciate that. I really, really do. And I, you know, and I really appreciate this platform that you so generously provide because, well, you know, it's – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, we're going to have that overlap due to delay. That's okay. But I just wanted to say that you have so much information to – I'm just going to act sort of like, you know, just the moderator here. I'm going to let you go for it because I don't want you – I want to listen. I want to learn from you tonight. So I'm not going to really interview you. I just kind of want to first talk about, you know, before we really get into the meat of what we're going to talk about, I just want to know – you know, your background and how you came to become founder of this wonderful organization. And I also want to, I want you to touch on the fact that I know that you're a vegetarian and that you eat healthy. Mm-hmm. And you know, I want you to talk about all that stuff because I really need to learn. That's why you are here, girl, to teach us tonight. You are here to teach us.
I understand.
So first of
well,
all, where are you from? And, you know, how'd you get your business? You know, how'd you find your business? Go ahead.
All right, so I'm from Chicago, born and raised on the south side of Chicago and South Shore originally, so shout out to the south side, which gets a bad rep, but obviously produces a bunch of brilliance, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, from there, I moved out to the suburbs, and I went to, you know, undergrad at University of Illinois, grad program at DePaul University, and really, in terms of, like, my spiritual journey and my spiritual development, which has led me to where I am now, I like to often say that this started for me, you know, literally in the cradle. So I remember really just kind of being in the crib, having an existential out-of-body experience with me kind of leaving the body, you know, as a fully developed spirit and kind of surveying everybody who was around. And quite honestly, I asked the question of the Egun. I call them Egun. Other people might call them ancestors. But I asked the question even then at that time, like, you know, why did you bring me back here? I was pretty much okay where we were, you know. And so, but I've always known, even if I couldn't quite put into words at a younger age, that my journey here was to be that of, you know, a facilitator of healing and a facilitator of the arts and just someone who encourages other people to remember already who they already know that they are, you know. It's just a matter of just always, sure.
Hold on to that thought for a second, because you mentioned, you said you recognized as a child. And I've mentioned several times the gift that I have, that I was born with. When I first, you know, as an intuitive medium, I first had my experiences when I was 6 years old. And that's really young. That's very young. And I spent many years after that trying to figure out if I really had seen and experienced what I had or whether I just had, you know, a normal child's imagination. And it, so even though I had the experiences early, it didn't catch up with me later to what I was experiencing until I was older. Did you have that same experience?
You know what? Yeah, I did. I had those experiences at, you know, very young age, and I was blessed in that I didn't come from a family that necessarily, you know, encouraged it per se, but at the same time, I didn't come from a family that tried to suppress it either. I think it was just more of about it with anybody. It was just kind of a given. It was just understood. I never thought of it as anything that was abnormal or foreign because it's all I ever knew, you know. My grandmother definitely had the ability, you know, to be aware of her sight, as they call it. We all have that ability, but some of us, you know, as you just alluded to, some of us, you know, are kind of encouraged to lose it, and it's kind of discarded when children are children as just being kids. But that's the truth, and also it's a fallacy simultaneously, right? So they are just being children, and being children means that they just recently came from the spirit realm, right? They just recently came from the land of the Agungun, which is the ancestral realm. And so just arriving means that they have one foot there and one foot here. So that very much so is them being children. But at the same time, it's not, quote unquote, just being children in the way in which the average adult means it. which means that it's just make-believe. And but, you know, from an artistic perspective, if not for the land of make-believe, that's where your ability to be a visionary comes from, right? That's where your ability to visualize and then make manifest comes from. And even if you're not an artist, all of us should be tapping into I tend to try to stay away from the term should be. So all of us could benefit from tapping into the ability to be visionaries, because if you do not use your ability to be a visionary, then you will not use your ability to be a creator. So, you know, yeah, but I hear you. I hear you on that whole, you know, people are kind of discounting it as, you know, your imaginary friends or, you know, you're just being silly.
I think in my situation, too, you know, touching back on, you know, what you just said was, I think a lot of mine, too, was that in the religious pantheon that I was raised in, or that my mother was indoctrinated in Christianity, if you even mentioned something outside of that, even though she had the gift, my mom had the gift, she just didn't step outside of her religious practices to maybe embrace something different. And I think that now that I walk a different path, she's able to maybe understand a little bit better what she thought was just weird stuff, you know, in her world.
Right.
And I remember the first time I had what some people would call an out-of-body experience. I went to a minister and I explained, you know, what happened. And I remember that conversation very vividly. As to that I shouldn't speak of such things, in other words, or I would leave myself open to possession and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
So, and I'm not here to poo-poo on anybody's belief. You know, don't say that. I'm just saying that, you know, we understand and interpret things differently depending on the path that we decide to walk down. So you embraced it, though, and you grew into it, and you are where you are now, which is an amazing thing. So tell us about that journey and how you mature, because in any spiritual path, it is a journey. So talk about that.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it was. So my parents, my family are, you know, they're very much so Christian, and I was raised, you know, like many of us, in the Baptist church. And the expectation was that we would go collectively as a family. And I was in the choir and actually sang in the choir through, you know, high school, through undergrad, traveling, performing choirs and all of that. But I was also, again, that simultaneous, you know, fortune of fate brought to parents. You know, we brought ourselves to one another, right? And we chose one another so that they would, even though they don't necessarily ascribe to what I ascribe to, but they were generous of spirit enough to allow me, once I got to maybe like around the age of, say, 13 or so, to not really be demanding about my presence in church. It became a little bit more optional. But even when I was a little girl, even when I was little and being made to go to church, I remember sitting, you know, in the balcony or in the pew or in the chairs and listening and just always knowing that for me, it just didn't resonate, you know. It was always like, so I know I have to be here. I have to be respectful. I have to be thoughtful. I can't fidget. I can't, you know, fall asleep and be disruptive. But at the same time, it just doesn't speak to me in the same way that it might speak to others whose path, you know, is Christianity. And so from there, you know, the development of my slant towards being empowered as an African person living in the States definitely kind of started from me, again, at a very young age, going with one of my aunts. Her name is Patricia Welch. So she's, you know, a great educator in the state of Illinois, but she was very politically rooted at that time, you know, and in a conjunction with some very, you know, weighty political organizations. And so I was fortunate to be able to meet, you know, Mama Angela Davis at a very young age, and I was the kid going to the rallies and stuffing the envelopes and not really consciously present at that time about what I was really receiving, but definitely having it impact me on a subconscious level of being able to know that first and foremost, it is imperative that we as African people collectively, whether you choose to call yourself African or not, if you are of the diaspora, and if your gene pool has something that came from the continent of Africa. I don't care if it was this generation or 10 generations ago. You are African. We're just going to claim you anyway. And we're going to love on you as if you know that you are. And so everything that I do comes from the perspective of being first rooted in the understanding that all of my energy, all of my insight, and all of my foresight comes first from my spirit, also then from my ancestors or my egoon, which is really the same thing, and then from my spirit guides, who are what I, you know, because I practice Ifa, I'm an Ifa priestess, and so that is a traditional West African belief system that's about 10,000 years old, and so we have what we call the Orisha, and the Orisha are basically primordial forces, the wind, the air, you know, the sun, all of that, the earth. And so I have all of those guides, plus my spirit guides, you know, all kind of working in conjunction with me. And they all work diligently to get me and put me in position. So they put me in position to be in the right lectures, you know, during undergrad. They put me in position to be inquisitive as a child, to be self-motivated, to pick up books that maybe other kids wouldn't have picked up, you know. And my, I came from a family of educators, so, you know, everybody's an avid reader. And so the expectation was that you read all the time, non-negotiable. And so that reading helped me to be able to do the research that I needed to do to just find my path. And so by the time I got to, say, towards the end of undergrad, I want to say at that point in time that, you know, the fire was completely lit. You know, the fire, anybody who's known me for a very long time knows that the fire has always been lit, but the fire was lit in a little bit more controlled at that point in time. And so then from there, you know,
I have been... I'm sorry, I got to jump in and ask a question every now and then, but because I'm just so interested in what you're saying. Now, when you were talking about the Orishas and your guides, and I was just wondering if you also include animal guides, animal totems in that as well. Because I know I do.
Well, you know, so I was the kid who people used to call Dr. Doolittle because I'm the person and the kid who animals are always drawn to. And so everything that I do is in conjunction with, you know, looking at all of nature, all of creation holistically. And so absolutely, animals are just as important. I put them in as my guides, and I have multitude of animal totems, and I appreciate and understand and resonate with their power. Because, you know, they too are our brothers and sisters, just with different number of legs than what we have. And for me, I know and I understand that they are that much more closely connected to the Creator because they don't have the misfortune and the conventions of, you know, quote-unquote civilization. And they are more rooted in,
I think you really have to reach a certain level of spirituality to really even comprehend that, because like I can't even kill bugs anymore, you know, without really thinking about what I'm doing. And I've gotten to the point now, like I have ants. They came, I don't know where the ants came from. The ants are just coming in the house. Where the ants coming from, I have no idea.
Right.
But, you know, I find myself running to the computer and Googling, you know, animal, you know, what happens when you see ants?
Power,
you know, what does that mean?
Right, yes. Yes.
But
yes,
I also wanted to talk about there's just one thing I want to throw out. When I was in undergraduate school, I took the African American religious experience, and it was one of the best classes I have ever taken, and it has stayed with me since then. And there was one particular book that I just was fascinated with, and the author, when I got this talk show, I reached all the way back to the author of this book and actually brought him on the show and interviewed him. It's called Slave Religion. Yeah, it's called Slave Religion, The Invisible Institution in the Antebellum South. Slave Religion, The Invisible Institution in the Antebellum South, and it's by Dr. Albert J. Raboteau, Raboteau, and I'll put that in the chat room if anybody is interested. And what he does is he breaks down from the diaspora all the way to through the Black church and Christianity to today, and it's an amazing story, and I really appreciate him and his work. So if you are interested in how we came from some of our traditional African religions, which is, this is what Kimberly is talking about, our traditional African religions and how we became indoctrinated into Christianity, and how, you know, he goes into detail of how slave owners used religion as a way of oppression. So it's very interesting. It's a great book. It's an older book. I think it's maybe 2000, maybe 1999. It came out around that time. So it's an older book, but one I would definitely recommend. So I just wanted to throw that in there, Kimberly.
Oh, that's good. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate that. So, you know, that my spiritual journey is in conjunction with my artistic journey, which is, again, for me, the same thing. So through me being a professional artist, practicing artist for 20-plus years professionally, but always, all of my life, even as a child, you know, the challenge for me always until a certain point was for me to get out of my headspace and get out of the way of the work that wanted to come forth and stop trying to over-intellectualize what the visual work was supposed to be. And I think that once I was finally able to do that, that was the simultaneous time that I was able to get out of the way fully of spirit coming through and embracing it for what it was and not over-intellectualizing what it was supposed to be versus just what it is. And when you get out of the way of the what is, as opposed to what you think it should be, then generally speaking, you know, the universe or the multiverses unfold for you exponentially. And so that's kind of, you know, how that happened in terms of, you know, the Sebeda, you said it right. So in terms of Sebeda holistic healing art, that developed on the other side of me spending a number of years teaching in the classroom. And I appreciate our youth for who they are, and I understand and recognize the challenges that we as educators and they as children often have with us trying to come together with parents who may or may not be on the same page, administrators who often are not on the same page, and then the whole undercurrent of what's really going on historically and politically and socioeconomically in this country as it pertains to black children and brown children being educated, you know, in a righteous way. And so the longer I stayed in someone else's classroom, the more I knew that I was going to continue to receive a certain level of pushback because I couldn't teach children in an inharmonious or, you know, imbalanced kind of way. From an African perspective, I couldn't be part of that situation that had children learning fallacies and learning from the perspective of learning how to grow up to be a worker as opposed to learning how to be a creator. And people are very afraid of that, right? You know, people collectively are afraid of what that means for black and brown children to understand fully who they are as creators and empowered beings. And then what would the world do if all of the African people, be you black or brown, around the world, all came together, woke up simultaneously, and it would be like, what, waking up the sleeping tiger, right? And so no one really, the powers that be don't want that. And I say that term loosely because they're not really the powers that be. They think they're the powers that be, and we, some of us, ascribe that foolishness to them, and we kind of facilitate that. And so all of those things together work towards how, you know, Sebeda Holistic Healing came about. And the necessity of it from my perspective of being here, inclusive of, as you brought up before, the whole vegetarian approach to things. You know, food is a powerful thing. It is a tool. It is a blessing. And it is also a weapon. And so, you know, I would see some of our children coming to school, eating their, you know, their classic Flaming Hot with the taco meat from the gas station and the liquor stores and the melted baked cheese, and then these children will be bouncing off of the walls, you know. And the last school that I taught at for an extended period of time, their whole foundation towards nutrition, even though they were doing it slightly from an experimental perspective, you know, which I couldn't really dig that, but, you know, still the food and the whole approach to eating was from a very holistic perspective. So all of the food was organic for the kids, and they had chefs.
Hold on, though, Kim. I want you to go back to something that you said, though, that has, I'm still wrapping my head around it because it was like, wow. You said
food is a weapon.
Yes.
Absolutely, food is a weapon.
Wow.
Food is a weapon. So if we look at it like this, right? So if we go back to just looking at times when our parents and grandparents were, you know, coming up of age, there was less of a tendency for Black people to collapse in upon themselves and implode through violence upon themselves when they ate nutritionally based live food. At that time, they did not have the financial luxury of being able to afford themselves the ability to eat flesh at every meal on every day. That was a situation where they were eating fresh vegetables, you know, a lot of them uncooked or what people would call now undercooked. Grains, you know, if they ate dairy, it was from dairy animals, you know, or cows who, you know, did not have hormones injected into their systems. They were eating grass. They weren't eating corn. If they had meat, it was from those sources, those animals who were empowered live, not sickened animals who were confined to small enclosures and thereby sitting in on their own shit, you know, and sickness. Not only are they sitting in on their own sickness, but then people are discounting what it is for spirit to be in the vessel of animals, right? So animals are sitting and they're anticipating their slaughter. They're anticipating their demise, and they are sitting and wallowing in fear and aggression and rage.
Oh my God.
This is what we're feeding ourselves. This is what we're feeding our children. That is totally even separate from the level of constructed foods that are not even foods anymore, that now, you know, is mass marketed because it's all about it. And there is a profit in having Black and brown people enslave themselves first through what it is they are ingesting and then giving them, you know, white folks and people in those positions who have no vested interest in our well-being, giving them the opportunity to then physically enslave us because we are completely, a lot of us, out of our minds, right? And we are out of our minds because how can you be in your right mind when you are ingesting poison 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? It takes how many hours for your body to digest just one serving of meat? 7 at least, right? Especially if it's red meat. So now you're talking about we have a system where we are ingesting meat 3, sometimes 4 times a day. At what point in time do your major organs get a chance to just sit down, take a rest? What point in time does your spirit, when you're at rest and sleeping, get a chance to just go and be free and unfettered like it likes to be? It can't do that because your organs and your spirit are trying to work together so very hard every evening to just keep you alive. You don't
okay,
get a
stop.
Chance to
stop,
unwind.
Stop. You're tearing us up. I mean, you should see the chat room and me. We're like, I've got my mouth open. And you know what? I'm going to have to direct you away from this only because I have to have you back just to do a show on this because
Absolutely. This
is blowing my mind. It is blowing
Absolutely.
My mind because, you know, as an earth person myself, I just never even thought about, I think you just blew me away, and I think there's a couple people in the chat room that you blew away too when you said the spirits and the animals about to be slaughtered. See, I never, here I'm talking about, you know, yeah, I can't even kill bugs now and everything, and I never thought about that. And we see these pictures and these images of these animals, you know, how they're, you know, gathered together, and you know, the terror is still lingering in that which we're consuming, and I had never really connected that before. So we're going to have to actually do a show just on that and talk about that because that is so deep that it needs
Absolutely.
Its own forum. So I'm going to make
Absolutely.
A note to do that because, you know, as I grew on my path, I started growing a lot of my own vegetables. I'm fortunate enough to have an area where I could grow a garden, and there is nothing like toiling the land with your own hands and eating
right.
from the food that you produced yourself. And there is a difference. It
right.
tastes different. It feels different.
Right.
You feel different when you're preparing your own bounty. So I can totally, totally relate to that. I can't believe
absolutely.
We're already at the halfway mark. I need to give a couple of shout outs here. So we're going to take a break for just a second. I just want to say hello to everybody in the chat room. I see a lot of familiar faces out there, and I also see some new faces out there. Got to give Cynthia Arrington a shout out because she has been so excited about this show. She's been keeping me going all week, you know.
Yes.
Excited to
be one of my sisters for sure.
Yeah, she's a pretty cool chick. I'm thinking that I might have to send her a friend request when this is all over.
Yes.
I see Nikki Bell out there and my longtime listener, Sierra Tier. So glad to see her out there. Nyla Brown, she finally got in. I've been trying to coach her through Facebook, trying to get her in. Of course, we're having the typical Blog Talk Radio program issues. Mary Crawford, she's out there in the chat room as well as several other guests who have not logged in, but I'm so glad that you're here, too. I hope it won't be your first time listening to Let's Chat. We're here every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Pacific. Also, again, to give a shout-out to the show sponsors, Bleeding Critic, and, of course, Paul Sampson and Knight of the Templar. In case you haven't seen his movie, you can see it at knightofthetemplar.com. I posted it in the chat room. Be sure to click on that link. You can stream it on iTunes or purchase it from Walmart. My guest tonight is Kimberly M. Harmon. She and I met online on Facebook about a year ago when I was promoting someone else and just have kind of connected and have grown closer and closer through her prolific posts and some might even say inflammatory. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. Some people, you know, can't handle what she has to say, but she gives nothing but truth. So if you can't handle the truth, then, you know, you have the problem, not her. But I'm really glad that she is here. She is the founder of the Sebeda Holistic Healing Arts. Now, Kim has done a lot of talking so far about our ancestors, our African ancestors, from which all creation comes from, black healing, and we ended on talking about the food, which I'm going to stop her there. I hate to do it, but I think it's worthy of its own show, so I'm going to have her back because I really, really want to talk about that more and all of this Monsanto crap and all that.
Yes.
But I want you to jump forward now because we're at the halfway point. I want you to talk now about dream interpretation and the rituals
that
go along with your healing art. So go ahead and jump into that, and we're going to keep listening.
Okay. Well, I first want to give a shout-out to Allison Duke, who's one of my sisters, also tuning in from Toronto. So hey, Allison, and hey, Notisha.
Hey,
give
Allison,
her a hug
girl.
For me.
Glad to see you.
Thank you for tuning in. But nonetheless, so dream interpretation. So, you know, one of the things that I've always been able to just really tap into as a child on without necessarily always knowing exactly what it was the ability to understand and interpret and analyze dreams. And I understand that dreams are really just a way for us to communicate not only with ourselves, but also for the ancestors or the Egon to communicate with us, which for me is all really the same thing, because when Egon communicates with us, we are thereby communicating with ourselves because they are us and we are them. The dream component is, to me, just as huge, if not more so, than our understanding of the nutritional piece and our understanding of where our socioeconomic empowerment comes from, because that is kind of like one of the first lines of defense. So if you think of it from this perspective, so every night you dream, whether you think you do or not, whether you remember it or not, you dream multiple times in an evening. And every time that you are sending yourself and your ancestors and your guides are sending yourself a dream, you're sending yourself information to tell yourself to one of several things. But really the main thing is, it's telling you if you are displeased with what the content of that dream is, then you need to change something about the path that you are walking on or how you're walking your path. You're going in the wrong direction. You're doing some of the wrong things that are disempowering where you say you want to go and who you say you choose to be. If you are enjoying your dreams and finding some sort of peace, even if you didn't definitively know what they meant, then that is an indicator to you that you are somewhere in there going in alignment with where you say you choose to be and who you say you choose to be. And I keep emphasizing where you say you choose to go and who you say you choose to be, because really when we come into the physical, we come here agreeing to do a certain thing or agreeing to have a certain experience. And we come with our pod group or our core group of other spiritual entities, and we have these agreements before we come into the physical, and we kind of play out what our relationships are going to be and what lessons it is that we're going to learn and what challenges we're going to have that are going to continue to help us to grow and, you know, evolve as spirits. Dreams are our ability to be able to tap into that information that either keeps us on our path or steers us back when we've gotten off of our path. Rituals, honestly, if we here, industrialized, you know, folk living out of our normal configuration of being, which is to naturally and normally be a very ritualistic people, then we would be in so much more alignment. A lot of the illnesses, a lot of the issues that we have spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically would not be occurring. Disease comes from really a dis-ease in our spirit. And all physical ailments, all mental ailments, all emotional ailments come first from spirit, right? And so spirit is the core of all communication, from dream to ailments to prospering to supposedly failing in what it is that we're trying to do. It all comes first from our spirit. Dream time is an essential time for us to be able to understand why that is, what that is, and what that information is about. So it's not just enough. So oftentimes people will ask me, all right, so can you recommend a good dream book for me to go and kind of start learning about dream interpretation? And there are several out there, but I am always hesitant to just recommend one versus another, because really understanding your dreams is not just about memorizing what a symbol means. It is also about putting it together. So I kind of make it, the analogy is like this. So I can give you a dictionary, and then I can give you a whole list of words, and you can learn the definition of each of the words, but it doesn't really help you if you can't put those words together in a cohesive and a coherent sentence that makes sense, right?
So, exactly. And I just want to jump in and say that a lot of times that you can't interpret dreams is because your subconscious is translating your conscious state using symbols. So let's just say you dream about your boss and you see your boss in the dream and your boss is doing that. It doesn't mean that that's actually your boss. That's what your subconscious is translating from reality. And so you really need somebody who's learned and understands symbols of dreams, not, you know, and can translate and interpret the symbols. Like for years, and I've had many shows on this, and I just recently have been able to get a grasp, but for years I dreamed about tornadoes and a house. The house took on a different shape. You know, sometimes I was inside the house, sometimes I was outside, sometimes the house was haunted, sometimes it wasn't. So it really took somebody who knew dream interpretation and symbols of dreams to help me work through what, because the tornado was symbolic, and then where I was when the tornado hit was symbolic. And so it's really important that you just don't buy a book and think you can piecemeal it together, because you can't. Right. You really need somebody who knows what they're doing. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, for me, because I approach everything that I do from an African perspective, so I look at dreams from a three-pronged kind of direction. So I look at dreams from the perspective of what they symbolically mean, as you just, you know, correctly stated. You know, dream. First of all, everything in a dream is you, right? Everything in a dream is you. I don't care if it's you had a dream about the color blue, or you had a dream about a rock, or you had a dream about a frog, you had a dream about your boyfriend, your lover, your boss, whatever. Everything on one level is about you. Simultaneous to that, though, a dream can sometimes be a precognitive dream. Precognitive dreams are those dreams that we say tell the so-called future, right? So if you look at dreams from, if you look at all of our being from a circular perspective, we do not have and we do not exist in a linear phase. We are not linear. We are cyclical. And so there really is no such thing as time. Everything is just now. There is only now. All we have is now. And so there is a version of you on a spectrum or a certain, you know, place on your circle of you. There are different you. There are different versions of you. There are different dimensions of you. And so one version of you sends you information, you know, in this current version of you that's having the dream. And that version of you is sending you information to help you either get to where that version of you is by keeping on doing what you're doing, or giving you a warning like, okay, the path that you were on or how you're living your life or what you're eating or how you're thinking or who you're, you know, associating with, that is not serving you for where we say that we want to be in this manifestation. So alter that, because if you do not, this is what is going to occur. However, sometimes we do have precognitive dreams that pertain to somebody else's well-being or ill-being. And so that also still then is simultaneously all about you, but it can also at the same time be about that person. And so you can then also alert that person in any way that you choose to feel empowered doing so, but you need to take the lesson in and the message about what it is for you. Also, though, at all points in time, you know, animal totems and our Orisha or our primordial forces are also sending us information. And so all of these entities work together, all these energies work together to help us to be as empowered as we possibly can, because at the end of the day, it is really all is about our evolution of spirit. And so whenever you're having a dream, to just use your example of like a house in a dream is your mind. So variations of how you're seeing that house is variations of in how your mind is developing, how you're utilizing your mind or how you're not utilizing your mind. You know, for me, from an African perspective, the wind, so you saw a tornado. So on one level, from an African perspective, that tornado is symbolic of Oya, right? And Oya is all about, you know, she's
all over me most
change.
Of the time.
Yeah, exactly. And she's all about deep-rooted change. She's all about the dismantling and uprooting of things that need to be for your betterment, for your empowerment. She's very, very powerful. And so, you know, a wind tunnel like that in a dream on another level is also about uncontrolled thoughts. And those uncontrolled thoughts have to be pulled in reined in order for you to be able to facilitate the change that you say you choose to have occur in your life. It's not pressed back against that change. And understand that at the end of the day, you are in control of all changes in your life. These changes are not happening to you. They're happening through you and because of you. And so if we understand dream language from the perspective that we have at any point in time the ability to just change our mind, when we change our minds, we change our existence and we change our reality. But again, going back to that food piece, food is going to fuel what it is that your spirit is able to get through to you. And food, because it is a level of intelligence, just as our cells are a level of intelligence, so food is a level of intelligence, and all these things are working together to communicate to our spirit so that we can be, again, as evolved and empowered as possible.
Wow. So when you combine the spirit with the food and your active sleep state and you roll it all together, what do you have?
Mm-hmm. When you put it all together, what you have is you being a fully in alignment individual. But when you are fully in alignment, then you no longer continue to just see yourself as an individual, and you understand the continuity that we all have in the collective, you know, in collective consciousness, collective mind, and the collectiveness of, you know, our community. So you see ants are going to be very symbolic of collective consciousness. right? They're going to be symbolic of empowerment through working together to create a thing. But that working together can also be all of your DNA working together, all of your ancestors working together, all of your spirit working together, all of the food choices that you're making working together, all of the people who you choose to spend time with. Because there's a lot of power and disempowerment in that too, right, in terms of who we choose to have relations with and who we know should push back against, especially as it pertains to who we choose to have sex with, who we choose to share our times and our thoughts with and our energies with, what electronic devices that we are incessantly having around us, all of that stuff, working with the music that we're choosing to listen to, all of that fuels the thing. For women, what it is that we choose to do with our hair, right? Chemicals in our hair, certain manipulations in our hair, all of that is breaking down our structure and our DNA strands or our spirit strands. So even if you don't have a chemical, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to expound on, you know, as I grow to my higher self and I am very particular in nurturing and cultivating in the relationships that I carry forward from day to day, I'm telling you, it changes your life. It really changes your life, who you allow in your space. And I just went through Facebook just like 2 days ago and just eliminated like 35 people. You know, I'm I think as you go along and you develop, you outgrow some people spiritually, and you are able to discern. And it's so important who you keep in your space. It is so very important.
It really is.
So,
it really, really is. Yeah. It really is. I know that people who have access to my personal Facebook page, not my healing page, but my personal Facebook page, I know that often people think, like in reference to something that you said previously, which, you know, is sometimes people might take me as inflammatory, and I don't have a problem with them thinking that because I know that fire is cleansing, you know, and fire is necessary in order for you to be stripped down, absolutely, in order for you to be stripped down to the purity of who you really are. But even if you can't get there, at no point in time am I ever going to not be able to be all of who I am. And so I present myself in the way in which I do on that page because I want there to always be a clarity in my purpose and in my path. And if something about my purpose and path resonates with you, then somewhere in there we're in alignment and I celebrate you and I appreciate you and I welcome you. But at any point in time, you know, you find that your alignment differs from mine in a substantial way, you know, then of course we should just kind of agree to part company because it's no longer serving
you're
us.
You're welcome to go.
You know, to
right,
be
you're
really,
welcome
absolutely.
To go.
And there's nothing personal
no hard
about
feelings.
That, you know.
I feel that way, right. I
it's
feel that way too.
About that.
I'm not going to not say what I want to say, and I'm not inflammatory. And I know I put up a post recently that says, you know, just because I'm pro-black doesn't mean I'm anti-white. And, you know, I'm not going to stop saying what I have to say just because it might make somebody feel uncomfortable. That's not why I'm there, and that's not, you know, who I am. But I really want to read the information that you have on your page because we only have about 12 minutes left, and I want to make sure that I get this in. Kimberly is the founder of Sebida Holistic Healing Arts, and the Sebida Holistic Healing Arts shares the significance of dream language and ancestral communication through interpretive dream analysis, Akashic records, readings, and traditional African ancestral holistic healing modalities. Dreams and the Akashic records provide invaluable opportunities to communicate with the self and the spirit realm. She provides information about ways to change, heal, and enhance your life by accessing the tools to balanced living and success which reside in all of us. They offer private practice, dream interpretation and analysis, Akashic records readings, intuitive healing, spiritual mentoring, empowered food recipes, workshops, classes, lectures, distance healing, and community healing rituals. Sebida Holistic Healing Arts' mission is to encourage people, particularly those within the African diasporic communities, to consciously empower themselves by connecting with their ancestors and their communities through dream interpretation, Akashic records reading, traditional African ancestral healing modalities, cultural history, and balanced living. If you would like more information, you are highly encouraged to send an email to SebedaHolisticHealingArts@gmail.com. She is also on Facebook, Sebeda, it's S as in Sam, EBEDAHOLISTIC Healing on Facebook. And we're going to give you that information once more before we leave. Again, in the chat room, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We had a very lively audience. And also, I'm communicating with people on Facebook who, for whatever reason, because of Blog Talk, are not able to get into the chat room. They are they're hitting me up on Facebook, communicating. Kimberly, they say you are on fire. You are on point. You are giving them the mana. You're giving them the mana that they need. And so I'm going to give you the last 5 minutes to just tell us, you know, wrap it up however you want. Just, you know, whatever information you want to give us, just go for it.
Okay. Well, I first want to say Modupwe, which means I thank you all for, you know, for your energy and for you tuning in, and even those folks who wanted to be here and couldn't be here and who will listen later. I'm very appreciative of that because, you know, ultimately, I just really, really am invested in the survival and the thriving and the continuation of the generations of empowered Black and brown people. I really, really, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I can even express how much I love our people and mm-hmm. how much joy I get from being able to help our people and myself and my little one, you know, thrive and just grow and glow through all of this and just understand that, you know, we together can help one another get through to the other side. But it's when we forget that, and it's when we choose to pull apart, you know, from one another, and we choose to kind of take in the forbidden fruit and the rotten fruit, actually, you know, that we forget our path and we kind of lose sight of our individual journey and our collective journey. So, yeah, so if anyone out there is interested in learning more or having workshops or having lectures, you know, either here in the Chicagoland area or, you know, from a distance, or if you want individual and privatized, you know, sessions with me in regards to dreams or nutrition or Akashic record reading or just period, you know, about Black people period or brown people period, you know, feel free to, you know, give me a shout out and contact me, because I am always excited about meeting people who are excited about being alive, you know, just being alive and being happy and helping other people to be alive. But I'm most definitely passionate about people who are fearless in the ability to be who they are. You know, and fearless doesn't necessarily have to show up the way in which I'm fearless, but as long as you're fearless in your way, as long as you are a frontliner in whatever capacity you choose to serve, as long as you are serving the collective, then, you know, I'm down with you. We can get down, we can, you know, break bread and share spirit and share communication and understanding. And I think that that's really, you know, my main goal in all of what I do. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm just very, very thankful that you have this forum here, and I'm very appreciative of you reaching out. And I'm glad that we, our spirits, were intelligent enough to, you know, attract one another to each other. I'm very thankful for that. I really am. I'm very, very appreciative, you know, of your energy and your intellect and your time. You know, I really do appreciate that. So I want to thank you specifically for inviting me out.
It's my pleasure. I really go by my spirit, and I was really, really drawn to have you on the show, and I'm just so glad that I did, because I don't know, girl, you got my teeth rattling thinking about, you know, thinking about that food. So I'm definitely going to bring you back, because I'm thinking about those chicken wings I had for dinner, and I'm
yes,
like,
ma'am. Oh. Right. But everything is about balance, right? It's all about balance. Yeah.
But I'm thinking about those chickens and the coops and the cages and stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. And then I was up there eating the chicken wings tonight.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing I want to say about that. From a ritualistic perspective, so, you know, no matter what it is that we choose to consume, we have to understand the ritual behind it. And the ritual behind it really is about the cyclical nature of the exchange of energy in life. And so if you're going to consume whatever you're going to consume, just try to, as best you can, make sure that it comes from as, you know, divine a source and balance the source as possible. So I know that it is tempting because of economics these days, throw in their mouths, but understand that that cheapness and that quickness often has very long-lasting spiritual, mental, and emotional and physical, you know, ramifications, and that becomes a generational dysfunction. And so what we're consuming and what we're doing and how we are moving through spirit space is what our babies are watching and is what they are reproducing and manifesting. And then we have a generation where we have to then be terrified of our children, not understanding that our children are just asking us for guidance and meeting out their frustration where we didn't give them guidance. You know, and so, yeah, those chicken wings, yeah, you know, you want to be thoughtful about the chicken wings, but if you're going to do the chicken wings, at the very least, you know, make them organic, make them non-hormone injected food, you know what I'm saying? Make them oven fried if you're going to do the chicken wings, and then just make sure you give yourself some days in between where you're chicken wingless. You know?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and actually, there's a great restaurant in D.C. that it's called Woodlands. And, yeah, I'm giving them a free plug. But they're called Woodlands, and they're right here in D.C. And, girl, they are a vegetarian, gluten-free soul food restaurant.
Yes, that's right up my alley, yes.
Oh, my gosh, the food was so good. I couldn't believe it. The collard greens and... I did have the chicken wings. I had vegetarian, vegan, that's what it's called, vegan. I had the vegan chicken wings, and it was amazing how they can make it look like a chicken wing and they can
make it
taste like it. If I could cook that at home, I probably would. I don't even know what it was that they used, but it was
the consistency
of chicken.
And so here's the magic of it all, right? So we can make things be and appear to be and taste and feel however we want them to. And so the power in them making it look like it's chicken is also the disempowerment of, you know, Big Brother making things appear to be food that really aren't food that we now think, you know, is food. So, you know, it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. But it's all about spirit and, you know, and I'm sure that the more disempowered the food choices are, the more chaotic your dreams have got to be, or the less inclined you are to even realize that you've had a dream, because there's no way. They go hand in hand. It all goes hand in hand, you know?
Well, all right, and we're going to have to wrap this up tonight, but please stay tuned, because Kimberly is definitely, I've got to have her back so we can talk more about this food issue. That's a whole episode to itself. Again, if you want to follow William Price King, who croons that wonderful opening, he's WPK Official, WPK Official, on that's at Twitter. And again, thanks again to Bleeding Critic and Paul Sampson. Join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Let's chat tomorrow for Thursday Tea with Nikki Michelle, Nikki Lee. She is hosting her show tomorrow night at 10 o'clock right here on Let's Chat. She'll be here. And then we will have Sherry Andrea, the psychic empath, giving us food on Friday. Last week she talked about relationships that was off the chain. Oh, my gosh. It was such a good show. If you missed it, be sure to go to the archive. I'm Carlette Norwood. I'm here with you every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much for being here. I hope it won't be your last time. You can follow me on Facebook, Let's Chat. That's L-E-T-T-E-S, chat, at Facebook. Kimberly, girl, thank you so much. I will see you on Facebook. We will continue to talk. I will continue to learn from you. And we will set up a date
so
when you can come back and we can do this again. So So thank you again, everybody, and I'll see you around. You have the last word, Kimberly. You have about 30 seconds. Go for it.
Okay, so last day, Sepeda, means going through the doorway of protection. And so I wish that for all of us, that we are divinely protected at all times and realize that and actively, you know, share that with others. But thank you. Madupwe.
Madupwe. I learned a new word again, too, y'all. All right, I'll see you next week. Tune in tomorrow night for Nikki Lee. She's Thursday Tea with Nikki Lee. Take care, y'all. Good night.
Good night.